Hello and welcome to Brendan Sinclair's Business Mix. I'm Brendan Sinclair and you're listening to tailoredpodcast.com. This is show number 4. It's December 13, 2005. We're coming to you live from the sunny Gold Coast here in Australia. Now, for something a little different on today's show, I'm basically going to do this one without notes. I've found that when I've used notes too extensively, I sound fairly stilted and dull. So today's show is going to be about business, basically, about how to do business, about some of the examples of myself in business over the last little while, and to try and sort of put across some of the principles that I've implemented over the last few weeks. I remember one of the most important lessons I ever learnt in business was basically how to do business. Finally figured that out after a few years about business is just taking care of problems. Business is doing deals. Business is forming relationships and developing relationships in the right way. So how business is done is really critical skill to learn, and it takes a while to develop the confidence to implement those sort of skills into your business development strategy. I'll give you some good examples. I think I've probably mentioned on this show before that I'm the president of the Palm Beach Scouts. It's a lofty title that I managed to win in a very close vote. I was the only one that put my hand up at the committee meeting, if the truth be told. So I'm the president of the Palm Beach Scouts, and one of the things that we do is obviously some fundraising to get the scouts some new gear, to keep the scout den running, to pay the insurance, all those things. Last Friday I went to a media club lunch and I sat next to a guy called Bruce. I'd met Bruce before. We'd had a few beers in a bar once. We knew some mutual people and we got talking, Bruce and I. Said, what are you up to now, blah blah blah. Started talking. I told him, hey, I've just become the president of the Palm Beach Scouts. We're doing a bit of fundraising. We're doing this, that and the other. Bruce said to me, hey, one of my clients is the major business in your area, and they've got a development fund put aside, a community fund put aside, to give to local worthwhile community groups. He said the Scouts would be perfect. He said, I know they have a lot of trouble finding community organisations to give it to. He gave me the name and the number of the CEO of the company and said, tell her that I told you to call. So I did that, set up a meeting, and I've let Bruce know. I've kept him in the loop. I sent him an email and I sent him a thank you letter. Now that, in an essence, is how business is done. I've gone out to a business lunch where other business people will go. Number one, that's good marketing. I'm going to meet like-minded people there, and quite a lot of times opportunities will arise just because you're speaking to that sort of group of people, that they're in business, that they know what's going on in the community. That was the first thing I did. Second thing, that I just happened to sit next to Bruce. He was at the same table. I knew that I knew the guy from somewhere else, so I sat next to him. We started having a chat. Now the thing there is that Bruce already knew who I was, had heard about me through his mutual friends, and like I said, we had a couple of beers in a bar once before. Now what that did was indicated to Bruce that I'm reputable, that I'm an honest businessman, all the rest. Otherwise his friends would have certainly told him otherwise. So immediately I've already got that credibility with Bruce established from our previous relationships and his friends knowing me as well, which really helped. Then the next thing was me actually saying to Bruce, hey, I'm the president of the Palm Beach Scouts. We're doing some fundraising. I don't think I asked him specifically if he knew anybody, but because I'm out there talking about the Scouts and the fundraising, it's triggered something in his mind. There I am sitting next to him. He knows me. I'm credible. His friends know me. They know I'm honest and all that. And he thinks this could be a good contact for my client to have to give them some money. So that's a great way to do it. That's so incredible. So then he's decided he's got a risk. Bruce has got a risk of giving me the number to his client, because if I'm a dodgy character, or if my charity was a bad one or whatever, then he would look a bit silly in front of his clients. Now I'm very aware that I have to present myself very professionally to Bruce's client, because it's going to reflect directly on Bruce. So I'll keep him in the loop on what's happening. I'll present myself very professionally, and I will follow up with Bruce's client very professionally. And that, in an essence, is how business is done. That's a perfect, really, business scenario, and it's quite a common one on how we get a lot of our business. We're out there talking to people, we're active in the local community. I'm the vice president of that media club, I'm the president of the Scouts, I do a few other bits and pieces around the community. And because of that, people know me, and because of that, I've got that credibility. Because of that credibility, they're more likely to refer me on to others who need either need our services or can be of some benefit to us. The other good example there from the Scouts was just last week as well. We had a committee meeting last Thursday, and in the committee meeting was a suggestion that we get some more couches for the Scout Den, because the ones we had there are about, I reckon, about 700 years old. They're really old and really dilapidated lounges and couches and sofas. So one of the committee people put forward that we use some money out of our kitty to buy some new sofas. But then we thought, okay, well, let's see if we can get some donated. So I rang up the ABC radio where I do my ABC gig and rang up the producer and said, don't you have a community service announcement which is free? She said, yep. I told her we needed some new couches. She said, just write 70 words for the ad and send it through. So I did that. And the radio station played the ad a few times, and we've ended up getting, I think, 8 couches. Some absolutely fantastic quality couches are in there as well. Now, that's a good example of doing business. We've just taken some action, and we've approached the right people because we have those relationships developed from previously. Now, this next bit is taking a little bit further about what you business people usually do. For each person who donated us a couch, we sent them a certificate of appreciation from the Palm Beach Scouts. We also wrote a nice, sincere thank you letter to those people. Those people have also been entered into our newsletter database list, so they get a hard copy newsletter about every 2 months. Now, in that newsletter, they're personally thanked in the next edition, and as well as that, over time, over the next year or two, there'll be another couple of requests for donations, not specifically to them, but generally just in the newsletter. Join our Club 100, donate something else, do this, do that. The people most likely to donate to the Scouts are the people who have donated previously. And the people who are likely to have donated previously, we obviously keep in contact with them because they're much more likely to donate again. So we develop that relationship that we want. And it's really easy. It costs us, you know, $4 a year to shoot our newsletter out to them. And so when we go and follow up a possible donor and say you're going to mention in our newsletter, then we'll say our newsletter has a circulation of 500 or whatever it is, and that increases the likelihood of getting that donation, because the person's got we've got a newsletter subscription of 500, so the person who's making the donation goes, if I give a donation, I get an ad in the newspaper, in the newsletter, goes out to 500 people, and some of those 500 people are going to be the people who donated previously. So it's important to develop those relationships that you want. And importantly, it's critical to develop those relationships in an appropriate way, in a professional way, so that it makes your organisation look good, so that you keep in contact, so that you're top of mind, so that they look and go, hey, we've got a certificate, that's really kind, I only gave them an old couch or whatever, I've got a certificate, I've got a nice letter, hey, and look, they've sent me the newsletter and they've thanked me in the newsletter. That person is much more likely to donate. Keep that sort of thing in mind when you're doing business with somebody, because the person who is most likely to buy from you is a previous customer. Now, the other thing I'd like to talk about today is our business model here at Tailored Consulting. You're listening to this podcast on Tailored Podcast, one of the things we're doing, but the main business is Tailored Consulting. Now, Tailored Consulting started off as a marketing business about 8 years ago. Then we moved into web development, and we've predominantly been doing that for probably the last 5 or 6 years. From the web development, we then moved into doing a lot of online marketing, which we're pretty good at, search engine optimization, running ad campaigns, linking strategies, the whole bit. Now, from that background, we then started moving doing our own e-commerce sites. Business is about evolving. Business is about generating new skill sets. Business is about meeting the needs of your changing market. Now, as the new year comes up, we've made a conscious decision here to review where our income's coming from and set down some pretty strong strategic pathways for us to build our business over the next few years. Then that more than likely, by the look of our numbers, is going to result in not doing websites for anybody else anymore. We'll continue with our online marketing for other clients. That's a good part of the business. But our e-commerce stores are going so well that that's probably going to be our focus. So it's important that you keep looking at your business, seeing where your money's being generated and focus on that. Because if you've got too many focuses, and we've got a few focuses here, I do a lot of writing, I've got the book out there, I've got the newsletter, all the rest of it, I do the podcast, we develop a lot of sites for others, we do the online marketing, we've got our own e-commerce stores, we've got our own sites doing Google AdSense, we've got a whole range of income streams, which is part of our strategy. But now we've got to focus it up and tighten it up a bit so that we're not doing a website and making just $5,000 profit, for example, because, as an example, one of our e-commerce sites can do $5,000 in sales a day with quite a healthy profit. Now, to that end, I'll talk now about a little site we're about to put up. I won't give you any specifics just yet. I'm about to do a case study on it. Came across a new invention about 6 months ago on a local TV show here in Australia. I rang the inventor and I said, I'd be interested in buying your product and being your internet distributor. Now the guy, the inventor, wasn't quite followed through enough on his invention. He hadn't got it to manufacturing stage, for example. So he couldn't really make any sort of commitments to that. A few days ago, in fact last Tuesday, this time last week, he emailed me and said, hey, the product is now for sale, you can buy it for $100, it's wholesale for $50, $10, $15 postage and handling. So I purchased one of the products, I received it today, he posted off last Wednesday, I received it today. Now what we're going to do with this is I'm going to set up a website for one of my kids, Jack, who's Jack's Camping Mad, and it's a camping-based product. Now, what I really want to do with Jack is to demonstrate to him the power of the internet and demonstrate to him about business, teach him about budgets and about how to market a website, how to get a website up there the most effective way. Now, Jack's already got his domain name registered and his website is hosted, and he owes me about $24 for those, and I've got it written somewhere, and he pays 12% per annum interest and all the rest of it. I've kept it very formal with Jack, so he understands that he pays for everything in line with that business. Now I'm about to show him how to set that business up. The first thing I want to mention there is it was unbelievably easy to become the internet, or become a retailer, internet distributor for this business. I received the product today. We've already got the domain name registered and the hosting set up. The hosting's $20 a year. Domain name registration was about $15 a year. It's a .com domain name. What we'll do now is we move forward and we could design our own site, but we won't do that because we've just gone to Monster Template and purchased a website design for just $64 US. So what's that, about $100 Australian? We'll be putting on a shopping cart called AmeriCart.com. AmeriCart, you can use it for a month before you start buying, before you start paying for it. We'll put on Dada Mail, which is a free email service, but you can give the guy a donation to use it. So we'll sign. People can sign up to a newsletter. I'm going to put a sales letter on there about this new product. I'm going to put photos on how you assemble this product, and I'm going to put a video on there about this product as well. So it's going to be a fairly simple site, but with some high-tech incidences in there, such as the photos and the video, and I'll get some testimonial audio testimonials for the site as well. Now, that'll only take us a couple of hours to do because we know what we're doing, and I'll be doing the writing. I'll need to make a couple of hours later on in the day. And Anthony, who works here, is just working on that right now. So the important thing about that, incredibly easy to become the retailer. Just ring the guy up, start the dialogue, develop those relationships that you want, because that's how business works. It's about people. And one of the mistakes I see with websites is that they're so depersonalized. There's nothing personal. People will shoot you an email. I get hundreds of emails a day, and it's fairly depersonalized. What I really try and do is I'll shoot people email, and if it looks like it's going to become a regular occurrence, or if it's really someone I want to contact on a more ongoing basis, then I'll ring them up and introduce myself, and so they can put a voice to the name, or if I meet them, obviously a face to the name. So that's the reason that you contact them, and that's how easy it can be to, for example, become that internet distributor. Now, I'll be the only internet distributor of this product, and I think that'll last probably a couple of months. I've got some specific strategies with this website for the marketing. I would anticipate I'll make a couple of sales a day for the first few days, and then I will bump the marketing up, and I'm going to try and get it up to 10 sales a day within about a month, and then from there I've got some decent old strategies that if they come off we should do pretty well. My wife's keen on the kids going to somewhere like McDonald's or the local supermarket to get jobs. I've never been keen on that. I kind of think, why would you work for someone else for $5 an hour when we can teach them these very same the business skills that they need in business and life, and get them to understand about commerce. Her thinking is that they need to be out there working as part of a team with others. Not too sure about that one. I might keep pushing that one, see how I go. Probably another one I want to mention, hello to Anthony Deaver. Anthony's a guy, a business guy up here in Brisbane, which is about 100 kilometres up the road from where I am. I think Anthony's read my book, reads the blog, a few other bits and pieces. And he emailed me not so long ago and said, Brennan, I know you've got a lot of resort clients. I've just noticed that the domain name late, late.com.au has become available in Australia. If you jump on, you can register it at the minimum cost, which is $99 for 2 years. Now, because Anthony had read all that stuff, he did know that I had the resort clients, and late is a really good domain name for those guys, because there's lots of last-minute booking sites. There's lastminute.com.au, there's quickbeds, there's whatif.com.au. These are last-minute accommodation booking sites, and late is an absolutely perfect domain name for those for that sort of business. And we've actually been toying with developing one of those sort of sites with one of our clients who's pretty keen to do something along those lines. And it's with Anthony, we haven't had a lot of email contact over the years. We've said good day a couple of times, but those opportunities present themselves when you're out there in the market, when you put yourself forward, when you have a presence within your local market or within your local community. And same with the client who wants to develop that website with me. He's happy to throw a bit of money at it, and it's because we've developed the right relationship with him over the years. He sees us as professional, he sees us as credible, he sees us as skilled at what we do. He obviously sees that there's a money-making opportunity there, which of course there is if you do it the right way. So they're the basic kind of things with doing business, is get out there and develop those relationships, because you might end up selling that newly invented product that might make you a few dollars. You'll end up with a great domain name because Anthony will remember that you're into that sort of business. You'll get some couches for your scout hall, whatever. So away you go. Now, finish off today, we're up to the 18 and a half minute mark. I'll finish off today by talking lastly about a client who we made a pitch to in August of this year, just on over 4 months ago. This is a guy, I gave a website pitch, just a job for, I think it was about $17,000. The competition, he got two competitive quotes, though, I can't remember, they were either $2,500 or $3,500 each. Ours was $17,000. Now, I've written about this client on the BrendanSinclair.com website and in the SitePoint Tribune newsletter before, and I mentioned there that I felt like I was stalking the guy, because I'd ring him up every week or two and say, look, have you made a decision on that website proposal? We went and gave him the proposal in person, and I've developed the relationship as well as I could. I've sent him white papers, I've sent him examples of what we were suggesting in our proposal. And I rang him up and said, are you interested in it? He's going, hey, I've been away, I haven't had time to look. I'd ring him up another time, no, still haven't had time to look. Oh, yep, I'm still looking at it, haven't made a decision yet. Now, this went on for 4 months, and I actually moved him from the leads list to the said no list. because I was sure that we weren't going to generate the job. And then sure enough, he rings me last week on the Friday and says, Brendan, I've made a decision. Pretty sure I'm going to go with you. I just want to come down for one final meeting. I have some questions to ask. Now, the client, or the prospect at that stage, him saying that, he didn't have any questions for me. He'd made up his mind that he was going to go with us. All he wanted to come down to the office for was some reassurance, because he hadn't been to the office before. He wanted to know that we, A, had an office, B, that we had staff, C, that we were professional, all of those things. Now, the very simple thing I did with this guy to put his mind at ease and reassured him, and it worked an absolute treat, was I left him sitting in the reception area for about 2 or 3 minutes. Now, in the reception area, we have what I call a brag wall. We have photos from happy clients, letters from happy clients, awards we've won, examples of websites with thanks Brendan from a happy client written across them, medals, a few other bits and pieces. So the client sat there for 2 or 3 minutes and read all these high profile names in the local business community and awards we've won, and read about the book, and I've got a plaque about the book making more than $1 million in sales there, and a big poster of a well-known sports person on the coast saying, you know, fabulous job. Other people mentioning how well their websites goes. By the time I walked out into reception and led the client into the boardroom, and there you go, the boardroom is another really credible thing that we've got. We've got a bit of space, obviously, and it's a pretty professional setup there. And all that stuff did was reassured him that we're professional, that we're not fly by night, that his money is safe, because it's a fairly big commitment to get your head around. You're paying someone $16,000-$17,000 when someone else's quote was, say, $3,500-$4,000. So that was the important thing there. So when you're selling to a client, it's not always about being the best or having the prettiest proposal. It's very much about reducing the perceived level of risk in dealing with you, because that is a major choice influence. Okay, I'll finish off with this last story then. Now, on this podcast, I'm supposed to have the audio beginning and the two audio breaks throughout. I asked an audio company a couple of weeks ago if they could develop that for us. Now, they haven't done that yet, and I haven't followed up with them as yet, for a really good reason. Now, that reason is the audio company, who we have a really good relationship with, about 5 or 6 weeks ago now, I said to the audio guy, here's a client, an ex-client of us, we don't have anything to do with him anymore. He came to us for a video, shooting an hour video. Here he is, deal with him direct, I don't want to be the go-between, but we'll invoice him because he's a really, really slow payer. And what happens is that if we invoice him and then hammer him, follow him up, because his account staff know us, they tend to pay us a little quicker, then they'll pay you. So the audio client, the audio guy was happy with that, one less thing for him to do. And exactly what I said has happened. The client hasn't paid the bill as yet. I think it's only about $1,800, so I haven't paid the audio guy, so I don't feel like I can go back to the audio guy and put pressure on him about the audio for my podcast, because I own that $1,800. It becomes a vicious circle. I'm to the stage now where I'll just pay the bill for the client and drag the money out of the client a little later. And finally, one last, this is definitely the last bit. That client who I'm talking about, the one that owes us the $1,800, is someone we're not going to deal with again, because it's just too hard. It's coming up. He's got to be 6 weeks, 8 weeks behind. We gave him a 7-day invoice, and he agreed to those terms. And I said, look, I want the money. And he said, oh, yes, sure, you will. And his history tells us that he'll eventually pay, but he's just so slow. And it's just such a hassle. The accounts girl has rung them up, you know, half a dozen times, sends them an email twice a week, and we know this is what we've got to do to get money off this guy. And that's not the sort of client we want. We want a client that pays their bill quickly, so we don't have this hassle and this nightmare of chasing them up, because every now and then you'll get burnt and you'll lose a bit of dough to a client, and there's nothing worse than doing work for a client and then not getting paid. You feel like just throwing your head through a brick wall. So that's all for podcast number 4. I hope that's been of interest. It's been kind of a little bit different, so I thought I'd give it a go and see how I went just by talking. I think I sound a little bit more motivated and animated and all of that. So thanks for listening. Take care until next week. Love to hear your feedback either on the site or give us a call. We've got the contact numbers there with our Skype phone. The account's called Tailored. We've got the New York number, and we've got the Australian numbers as well. So again, thanks for listening, and look forward to putting show number 5 together next week. Bye for now.